Jared Gomes here with ya, and recently I had the chance to try a really cool board game. Me and my family played it for like an hour and a half, and it was so fun. And then I thought, okay, well, who made this thing? Turns out it was done by a local Albertan. And, well, I brought him in to chat about it.
I'm Keith Donaldson, creator of Diceborne Heroes and owner of Diceborne Games Limited.
And tell me a little bit about the board game for people who don't know.
Yeah, so Diceborne Heroes is a game I was always looking for. It's a 1-4 player cooperative fantasy dice game. You choose a group of heroes. You'll be going on one of the 8 adventures included in the game. Each of the adventures will have 3 quests and then a final boss that you'll have to take out. And then if collectively you beat the boss, then you win the game.
And let me tell you, it is really fun. And you are from Alberta, right? So it's not something you see a lot, like in game stores, locally made games, which is really cool. How was that whole process of making something from like Alberta instead of somewhere else?
Yeah, I feel like it had its challenges, but we do have a pretty good board game community in Alberta, in Calgary and Edmonton. I was able to leverage a lot of other designers and board game companies to kind of get their opinions and playtest. I was never, even though I published it by myself, I felt like I was never really by myself. I had a decent amount of support and people behind me that were championing the game as it was going through its adventures. And then with a few books and podcasts and stuff, I found a lot of information out there that really helped me get things going. So yeah, it was quite an adventure in itself.
And so I guess maybe for those aspiring to create something as well, is that kind of a good place to start, is just looking up some research on their own, or is there other places they can go to get help to create something like this?
It depends on where you are. Honestly, the first step of working something is just putting something on paper, showing it off to friends, get their opinions, find out what they like about it, and you just work with it, just play with it. And it doesn't have to be something that is marketable right off the bat. It just has to be fun. And then from there, you can kind of start going to conventions, going to other places and talking with other publishers and find out what they do. And there's a lot of resources online. One I recommend was Kickstart Your Dream, which was a book by Jimmy Stegmaier, talking about his first forays into Kickstarter. And his website, the Stonemaier website, has a lot of blog and information about the entire industry, basically from manufacturing, what to do, what not to do, shipping, creating a campaign, making things appealing, and getting information and the word out there. So it was really a good resource to get information and figure out what to do and what not to do.
For your game in particular, what was your journey? Because where did this idea start? What was its origin? And, I mean, kind of walk me through a quick summary of the whole process of how everything went.
Yeah, so I played a few prototype games from some other friends of friends, and I really liked what they were doing with that. It was like, oh, that seems really neat that, a lot of these games and stuff can come from very simple, small ideas at the beginning. And I was always very passionate about a lot of these old Super Nintendo video games, and I never really saw a board game that kind of gave that feel. So I started making spreadsheets, really, is where it all began. I started working on characters and then just seeing how they would develop their characters as they go through. And then from there, I started working on just making it a dice game. It kind of felt like something that was easy to fit in, and it fit a lot of the theme and what I wanted to see out of the game.
How long does this process take? I mean, it might vary depending on who's doing it, but for you, example, how long did this whole thing take from kind of the initial idea to now having it sold everywhere?
So I think like the initial like rough ideas and stuff was in 2015.
Oh, wow.
So it was a while back. It didn't take too seriously from the get-go, because it felt like something that was kind of like a far-off dream, but it was something that I really enjoyed doing. So for the first couple of years, it was just me playing around with it and then just bringing out its Keith's game. After I talked to some publishers about it and got some feedback, I decided to kind of lean into it a little bit more, and then see if I could actually make a go at this. I'd constantly was backing other Kickstarters on for board games, and I just really liked that community and that spirit of, you have a dream, put it on here, let's see if we can make it work. And that was kind of what I was hoping, that other people were like me looking for a game like this.
Of course, the process took a while to get where you're at now. Was there any major struggles throughout it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. This was it was a little tumultuous trying to get through a lot of the water. I feel like planning and setting up the campaign went really well in itself, the campaign, and it ended up being really successful. It was just the part afterwards that there was a lot of gray area that I wasn't certain about, and I was working with a manufacturer that I was hoping would help me out with a lot of the choices, and they were mostly busy with larger clients. It was really tough to get a lot of the, you know, the advice, or it was just sort of stuff that was selected, that was left on my plate, like, you get to choose this and just put this through. And things weren't aligning properly. All the artwork and the cards had to be color corrected and had to be redone completely from scratch after the campaign. And then the process of shipping was a complete different story. It grew exponentially from what I was initially quoted from a lot of the things. So I was at a point where the cost of shipping this was more than what I had left raised from a Kickstarter. Money that I invested into the company to try to like grow it was basically now all gone, and now I was kind of left with trying to find a way to pick up the pieces, as it were, and get the rest of the game shipped.
I know you managed to somehow work through it.
Yeah. I started a sort of a support, so we had enough for a lot of the Canadian US ones. I was trying to raise money by adding additional content as a separate add-on that backers could get to kind of add a little bit of extra funds to kind of push us over the finish line. And I had to cut back on a few other promises that I made, which I was not happy that I had to do that. A lot of the taxes and the charges to ship into international countries, I had to push towards the backers, which was kind of a very unfortunate side effect from it, but it was kind of the only way that I could see getting the rest of those games shipped out.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
The little bit that I had left over, I threw everything into getting the rest of the copies out to the backers, and you know, it made it on its way. So
there was a happy ending.
There was a happy ending, yes.
This is your first time, I mean, getting a board game out, so there's all these slight problems or little things that maybe you didn't realize until, you know, you're actually experiencing them.
Yeah, and a lot of times are things that you don't really consider, you don't look at when you look at a board game. Like, the dimensions of the inserts were taken based on the cards that were there, and that didn't include a lot of the cardboard and the rule books that were just layered on top, and that pushed the box lid up by a couple millimeters, and that mean that we had to get a new carton that fit less games in it, which means we needed more cartons, which means we needed more pallets. It was sort of like those couple millimeters turned into having to deal with another 5 pallets worth of games somehow.
Wow, yeah, so there is a lot that you don't think about when you just pick up a board game off the shelf.
Yeah. Again, like the color correction of like everything I'm looking at, I'm sending the files that I see on the monitor. But obviously, that's not how a printer works. It can't print exactly the colors that are on the monitor. It uses CMYK versus RGB, and then all of those colors it was drastically different. So having to change all the colors of all the artwork that was done so that it and resubmit it under a different print code so that it could actually be printed properly.
Yeah, so many things.
Those are my lessons.
And of course, I discovered your game at a convention. Is that kind of the main way you've been spreading the word? I know, of course, probably online and other places, but how have you kind of been getting the word out or spreading the word about your game?
Yeah, so early on, I knew that really immersing myself into the community and finding the audience was really important. For the start of my campaign, I was focusing on who my audience was, and I thought that my audience were people that loved those old games like I did and loved playing cooperative story games, which was partially true, but I feel like afterwards, I found out that majority of my audience was actually people who wanted something to play with either a significant other or children, and or wanted something that was a solo like experience that they could play through, which that was kind of like the big boom of solo style games. So
interesting.
It was an audience I didn't realize I had. And then I reached out to a few content creators and gave them copies of the game to get their opinions on. And I discovered a whole other audience from that. That was really big. But I would say definitely conventions have been a huge help in just getting the word out there, meeting new people who publish and create new content. And finding out if they're willing to do reviews or previews or whatnot. I know I have a couple others that are supposedly lined up here pretty quick, but yeah, there's been some exciting reviews. I had a review from Rado, Richard Ham, who's was one of my reviewers I always follow and really liked their reviews. And he managed to do a review for my game, which was incredibly humbling, and he loved it, which felt really exciting for me to know there's definitely people out there who really enjoyed and liked the experience that they got out of this game and the system. So that was a big one. There's just a lot of little stories I've had throughout meeting people at conventions is really helpful in getting the word out there and going to different places and finding new audiences I didn't know I had.
Would you say it's kind of a good introduction to role-playing game, something like that, to get people started? And I know you were saying people with families are into it as well. Is it kind of like a good introduction game like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That was another thing that I didn't initially plan on it. But I've played games where people wanted to make names for their characters and their heroes and act as their heroes as they're playing through. The game itself doesn't require you to take on the roles of these characters, but it does leave openings to make you make your story. And the story it tells and the bounty cards it gives you is enough of a little seed that you can see through lines in each of the characters as they go through. That was one of the things I really wanted, was that the bounty cards that give you a character personal goal all have something tying in with one of the stories or adventures. So you can always have a moment where you are the star of the story.
Oh, that's so fun. And is there anything we can expect in the future? Is there anything in the works, or is Diceborne Heroes kind of just where it's at for now?
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of ideas in the works and a lot of stuff that is physically sitting right beside me right now. Ooh. That I'm excited to try to get working on. But again, wanting to put my right foot forward on this process this time, and wanting to make sure that this has everything that I want to include in the game, and that it is adds on to the experience. It's not just a money grab. It's something that is really gives it a little bit more connection to the game and the story that people want. So yeah, I have that, and I have other games as well. So I definitely want to continue this journey, and we'll see what we have at the next convention.
And using all these lessons learned that we talked about, the future project should hopefully go a lot smoother.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing that I've just, the things that you don't expect, you just want to leave yourself, a step forward so that you don't have to face plant into them beforehand, like always double checking and triple checking and having a circular contact window with both the manufacturer, shippers, and your audience as well, and making sure that you're very clear in communicating on both ends so that everyone is on the same page, I think is really important.
And of course, after talking about it, if people want to find your game, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, you can follow me on the Diceborne Heroes on all the social media. We have a Facebook platform, and then we can buy copies of it on diceborneheroes.com/backerkit.com, and they're available for sale on there.
And was there anything I missed that you wanted to mention, or anything else you wanted to talk about, or any last remarks?
No, I feel like the design community that we have in Alberta is really strong, and I think that anyone else who wants to go on this journey, there is so much room for new ideas and new people to find a way to make the thing that they want and put it out there. And I feel like there's definitely ways to reach out to other people, your local board game store, see if they know anyone else who could help you out.